Let us pray. God our Father, we thank you for bringing us to this place this morning, for being able to sing, pray, worship and listen to your word. As we explore your word this morning, with the help of your Holy Spirit, may we understand it and may it strengthen our faith in you and help us to walk with you day by day. Amen. Many of you will know that I'm a primary school teacher, and my favourite subject is maths. It's a subject that I lead, and numbers fascinate me. So here are some numbers. The Bible in numbers. The Bible is one book. It has two testaments. It has 66 books. It has 1,189 chapters. It has either 31,102 verses or 31,103 verses, as some translations have an extra verse. I didn't know that. And there are 807,361 verses. Okay. But the Bible is one book, giving one account of one God and one Saviour. The problem is that we sometimes can divide it too much and miss out what it's trying to tell us. Our reading from John chapter 6 is one of the lectionary readings for today. The problem is that unless you know what comes before it, you miss out on so much of what it's actually trying to tell us. The theme of today's reading is, who is Jesus? And it introduces the first of seven I am statements that Jesus made about himself. What precedes our reading today are two key, well-known events in the life and earthly ministry of Jesus. As we have seen from the video earlier, the first was the feeding of 5,000 men, along with many more women and children, using one boy's provision of five loaves and two fish. Jesus fed the crowd. And although it wasn't one of the quiz questions, the disciples collected 12 basketfuls of leftovers. A miracle had occurred. So what happened next? Verses 14 and 15. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Next, Jesus waited until evening and sent the disciples across the lake while he stayed on the shore. As we will see later, some of the crowd were still around and observed the disciples leaving without Jesus in the boat. Halfway through the night, a storm was brewing, and the disciples were struggling to get across the lake. The disciples saw Jesus walking towards them on the water. We can only imagine their surprise and their reaction. Verse 21, they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Verses 22 to 24, the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with the disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. And the first point this morning is that the crowds were searching for Jesus. I love verse 25. The question has so much more significance than perhaps we first realize. Rabbi, when did you get here? The crowd knew that Jesus was not in the boat when the disciples left. They also knew that he had not traveled in the boats with them. They also knew that he could not have traveled around the edge of the lake. Not only had Jesus amazed them by feeding them using only 5 loaves and 2 fish, he perplexed them with how he got to this place. But Jesus questions their motives. The crowds were focused upon their physical needs. Our physical needs, as we know, are only temporarily met. We are hungry. We eat. Our bodies are satisfied, and we use the nutrients to maintain and repair our bodies. But we'll be hungry again, and our physical needs will be temporarily met, will need to be temporarily met again. Jesus was emphasizing the temporary nature of our physical needs. What he was challenging the crowd to think about was their spiritual needs. Physically, we're all pretty much the same. We're all made up of water, a selection of hydrocarbons, minerals, etc. Some of us have more than others, but generally, we are pretty much the same. But what makes us unique is our spirit. The non-physical, the intangible life we possess. Our physical bodies are temporary, but our spirit is eternal. And it is this eternal perspective that Jesus is drawing the crowd's attention to. In verse 27, he says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Here, Jesus is explaining his mission and the authority he has been given. Jesus came to earth to bring life, eternal life, life in the kingdom of God, a restored relationship with the Creator God. On him, God the Father had placed his seal of approval. Now, I looked up the dictionary definition of a seal. If I had asked my class, they would have told me it was an animal. But the one that I'm talking about is a piece of wax, lead, or other material with an individual design stamped onto it, attached to a document as a guarantee of authenticity. And the key words here are those guarantee of authenticity. Jesus is the real thing, God incarnate. In the past, God called prophets to proclaim his message. In Jesus, we have someone who is God himself, someone who knows what the kingdom of heaven is like, someone who knows God's will. Verses 30 and 31. So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Still, the crowd are focusing upon the meeting of their physical needs. They seem to have forgotten the miracle that occurred just the day before. The crowd failed to see that Jesus had already provided them with manna through the feeding miracle. He had demonstrated how he could meet their spiritual needs, as in the time of Moses. Physical needs, sorry, as in the time of Moses. They were blind, lacking in understanding of the importance and indeed the essential need to have their spiritual needs met. Verses 32 and 33. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They then ask, "Sir, always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This morning, we've been reminded that bread is a staple part of most people's diet. Just one final point. Bread's also an essential element of the Last Supper, and indeed, when we share communion together in the Lord's Supper. When Jesus broke the bread, he used the words, "This is my body, broken for you." So what does this mean for us today? We must accept the bread from heaven that Jesus offers us. We need this bread to fulfill our spiritual hunger. Our physical bodies will one day wear out, but our spirit will go on for eternity. Jesus promises us eternal life if we turn away from our natural sinfulness and turn to him. Receiving that forgiveness is free through God's grace in sending his son to die upon the cross, paying the penalty for our sins. God loves each and every one of us. But there is a cost to following him, trusting him to lead us, accepting the heavenly bread he offers, and walking in faith with him day by day. Amen. A closing prayer. Jesus, thank you that you are the bread of life. May each one of us receive that bread and be strengthened in our walk with you. Amen.